Next step, number 599, November 28th, 2019. So much to be thankful for. This is the Thanksgiving edition. And even if you're outside of the United States, pause for a bit and participate in this Thanksgiving celebration. I know I will be doing it as I connect the dots between the emotional, psychological, and the heads and the tails. This is Father Voss again. This is the next step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazquez brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
They say you can't find one. They say you can't find an atheist in a foxhole. The actual expression, there are no atheists in foxholes. You've heard it, right? Well, what's a foxhole? Okay, yeah, that's so good. Foxhole, in times of war, in times of battle, this is that small little area that's dug out of the ground. It's like the trenches, right? Okay, it's a hole in the ground that troops would hide in to shelter them from enemy troops from their fire. So it's these small little areas, these little holes where a soldier would stand in or would sit in or would squat in while he was being fired at, he would be firing back. These are called foxholes. And the idea, there are no atheists in foxholes, it's an aphorism to argue that in times of extreme stress or fear, such as during war, in these foxholes, all people believe in or hope for a higher power. There are no atheists in foxholes. Like, you know, during times of stress, when it's out on the line, when it's, you know, when a bullet is ready to hit you, at that moment, you want to believe that there's something greater than yourself. You want to believe that there is some power, and, you know, you will pray. There are no atheists in foxholes. So several years ago, when my first son was born, I added to that because I realized that standing at the birth of my son, having this beautiful privilege to experience a miracle, I realized that there are no atheists in birthing rooms, in delivery rooms. There are no atheists. I mean, when you witness the miracle of birth, you've got to believe that there's something more, right? When you look at that tiny fingernail coming out, that's like a piece of paper, and you realize nobody can create this. You know, this is not just by accident. You realize that there's something greater at work here. You realize that life is truly the greatest of all miracles. And so standing there at my son's birth, over 30 years ago, I realized that there are no atheists. There's impossible. It's impossible to deny the existence of God when you're seeing this miracle, the miracle of birth. And subsequently, each time I was present at one of my kids' birth, I was just overwhelmed by it. There are no atheists in foxholes. There are no atheists in birthing rooms, in delivery rooms. And now fast forward 33 years since I made that realization. Just last week, right after we finished the next step, headed over to the hospital to greet the newest member of my family, my first grandchild. Didn't know what was going to come out. And yeah, we're old school. And I'm really happy that my kids are old school. Yeah, didn't want to know. So we were waiting. Of course, I knew. I have my ways of telling. Yes, I do. Yeah, I know. You want to call it old wives' tales. You want to call it that, oh, it just coincidence. No. I've been 100 for 100. Yes, I know how to predict it. Anyway, that's besides the point, okay? The excitement was there. We went over to the hospital, and we were waiting. And when we got the announcement, a little bit after midnight, that our new grandson had arrived, again, that overwhelming joy and the realization that there are no atheists in birthing rooms, in delivery rooms. I mean, when you see the miracle of birth, you're in awe. It takes, yeah, there are no words to express it. Awe. It's exactly that word, awesome, right? You're just like, ah. And so I'm happy to tell you that we are the grandparents of a new grandson named Ari. Ari, yeah, tough name, ferocious name for a little guy, you know. It means brave, it means valiant, courageous. I was with my spiritual father the other day in church, and I had the pleasure of telling him that I'm a grandfather, and I told him Ari, and I told him that's the name. He goes, you know what that means? I go, yeah, I do. And before I could even answer, he goes, it's noble. Noble. I said, okay, we'll take that too. Anyway, very, very excited. Yeah, middle name, Geizug. Yeah, that's a cool name too. You know, we Armenians, we have these really cool names. It means lightning. We have these cool names about these events that take place up in the sky. Like Pylug, Shant, Geizug, like the thunderbolt, lightning. Yeah, big time. So here's this little newborn baby named Ari Geizug. He came into our life a little bit after midnight. And again, it gives us a moment to pause and to be in awe. In awe of this incredible miracles that's taking place right in front of us. And here I am 33 years later after making that real, after having that realization that, yeah, there are no atheists in birthing rooms. Here I am 33 years later thinking about that. And I realized that, you know, how you come to your expression of faith in God is also just as important as that expression, because it tells you something about the nature of your faith. And as you're exploring, as you're trying to become spiritually mature, you start asking the questions that are important, that what is the purpose, what is the nature of that faith? Because for in fact, when you say there are no atheists in foxholes, what are you saying? That during the most difficult, most stressful times, times of fear, that people will turn to God? So in a sense, what are you saying? You're saying that, okay, my options are now out of the way. I need God. I need a protection. I need to believe in something. I want to admit that there is something greater than me for my own protection. And basically, I've exhausted all the possibilities, and here I am. I need this help. There are no atheists in foxholes. Okay, when you extend it to there are no atheists in birthing rooms, in delivery rooms, what are you saying there? You're saying, I am in the presence of a miracle. And all I can do is say, I am at a loss for words. I am beyond what my senses will allow me to understand. I acknowledge the mystery of life. Awe. Awesome. Yeah, just full of awe. It's the same in Armenian. Ahavor. Awe. I'm in awe of it. Like, there are no words. I mean, you can think about it. Well, you see a piece of art. And I think this is why what my attraction to music is. Because certain things you just have to feel. You hear a piece being played by a concert pianist. You hear a symphony. You hear a band play. You hear a singer sing. And you realize, you can't find the words to express what's going on. It's something that you're feeling deep down. And so it is. At times like this in the birthing room, at times like this when you are in the presence of a true miracle, it's just best to acknowledge that miracle by being in awe. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." What is that state of stillness? It's that acknowledgement. And to know that I am God. You are in awe. You see a miracle like this and you just go, wow. Like I said, you know, I mean, take a look at a baby's fingernail. I'm not talking about anything greater than the fingernail, the most insignificant part of the human body. You would say that, right? The fingernail. You look at a baby's fingernail. It's like paper. And yet, you bring all the scientists together in the world. You bring all the people, all the industrial people. You bring all the millionaires. You bring all the doctors. You bring all the carpenters. You bring every kind of talent to the table. You cannot create that little fingernail. Yeah, you can't do it. You can go and you can find chemists, okay, who could come up with compounds. You can go and definitely find a bunch of biologists who know the human body, who know all the animal kingdom. You can find people who construct. You can find engineers. You can find people in the medical profession, doctors. You can find people in the legal profession who can, you know, come up with maybe the philosophical background to this question. How can we create a fingernail? And you can put everybody around the table. You can find mechanics, you know, who will do some complex work on huge machines. And, you know, you bring everybody around across from one another around this table and you say, okay, here we are. Here's what we are charged with. We need to create this most insignificant part called the fingernail. And you can't do it. You can't. People can't. You realize it's beyond you. That's the awesome experience. In other words, you're in awe of something that is beyond what you can do. Yeah, 3D printers too. Yeah, thank you. You can get a 3D printer. You can't create a fingernail. You can create something that looks like it, that might feel like it, but it's not the fingernail. And that's just the most simple part of this human baby. And when you put it all together, it is truly the miracle of miracles. And yeah, anybody with just a little bit of sense will look at it and say that, wow, there has to be something greater here. But the difference in finding that loss of atheism, in other words, to turning to a theistic idea, and I don't want to get too technical with that because it's really not about a theology. It's about the acknowledgement of the mystery that's out there. And that turn is different in each case. For the guy who's in the foxhole, what is it? Well, he's looking at it and he's saying that, I've explored my options. I'm out. I need help at this moment. I don't know what to do. This is the extreme condition just before death. I need to believe that there is something. I want to believe in something greater than myself that can save me. Whereas in the birthing room, it's not about saving yourself. It's acknowledging that there is something greater. It's that acknowledgement that I've tried, I've explored my options. I've got all these people sitting around the table. They cannot create this. There has to be something greater. It's like looking up in the sky. It's like looking out at the universe. It's like looking in the depths of the ocean. It's like finding that small, small little butterfly that flies around and you realize there's something great here. And it's beautiful. And maybe it requires for me to just shut up for a few minutes and say the words of the psalmist. I want to be still and know that he is God. There's something greater than me. Be still and know that I am God. And this is the starting point of what? Think about it. Where are we today? Thanksgiving. It's the beginning. It's the acknowledgement that there is something greater than ourselves. And that allows us to be thankful for someone who gives us, for something that gives us this beautiful life that we have. That's what Thanksgiving is about. We here in this country, here in the United States, we celebrate once a year this feast. Actually, in the Armenian Church, we celebrate it every Sunday. The Holy Eucharist, the Holy Divine Liturgy, the Badarak, is called Thanksgiving. And it's acknowledging that throughout the whole week, you have 168 hours in a week, that, 167 of them, I'm celebrating this miracle. I'm going to come to that 1 hour during the Divine Liturgy, the 168th hour, and truly say, I am thankful for this celebration. I'm thankful. And that's why, you know, a lot of times people say, I go to church, I don't get anything out of it. No. You've got what's coming out of church already. You've got the 167. You've already got the life. Now is this 1 hour to just go and close your minds. You don't go to church for God. Get that out of your mind, okay? God doesn't need you to come to church. You go to church for yourself. It's that one little hour where you can just get in touch with your feelings, to bring it all together, kind of synthesize what happened, and really celebrate the miracle that God has given us, to be still and know that I am God. And so Thanksgiving begins with this expression of acknowledging the great, of being in awe of something greater than yourself. And this is the starting point of today, of this very special podcast, where I get to celebrate with you, my listeners, with you, my extended family, my electronic family, this very special miracle that once again touched my life, the miracle of birth. And I want to share that with you, and also share some ideas coming up in our second portion that are kind of, well, you're going to say, how could you talk about that? But I can. And I think you're going to find some strength in what I'm about to tell you, strength for your own life condition. Because you know what? We live in a world that's filled with all kinds of stuff, right? And it's not just acknowledging the miracles, but it's acknowledging what's going on around us and understanding that our path in this world has to be one of harmony and understanding. That's what I want to bring in the second portion of today's show. So with that, let's take a break right now, and we play a song of the day. Now, I'm going to play you 4 songs, but they're very small, tiny, tiny little songs. They are part of a group of songs that are called 12 Songs for Children, as appropriately. These are by Gomidas Vartabed, and they are played on piano. We'll have a link on the show notes to all of them, but picking out just 4 of them that kind of speak to my heart in a celebration of Thanksgiving, and a very special Thanksgiving for us as we celebrate the birth of our grandson. Thank you. Now tell me, wasn't that fun? Oh, yeah. Komida Svartabet. And they're fun because children are fun. They bring together so much. You know, have you ever thought that who are Jesus' favorite people? It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we, as people who try to decipher religion, talk about, you know, different people who are pleasing to God. Yet God says something very, very simple. Let the little children come to me, for to them belongs the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't that make children in a special class of their own? They are God's favorite. And become like the little child. Accept, understand. You know, I shared with you last week about this whole idea about Advent and people getting into... I heard it again. Right after we presented it last week, it was interesting. Somebody called me up. Would you come on TV? The Armenian TV here in Southern California is very big about these kind of things. And actually, I refused this one. Would you come on TV and explain what the difference is between December 25th and January 6th? You know, I said, you want that? Okay, go to this lecture. Go to this book. You know, we got to get over this. What December 25th, January 6th, we've done that, been there, talked about it. And I know there's new generations. There's new people who are asking a question. Okay, thank God we have books. Thank God we have these videos. Here, pull one off the shelf. But think about it. God's special people. The ones that God loves, that to them belongs the kingdom of heaven, the children. When do they celebrate Christmas? Not December 25th, not January 6th. When do they celebrate? They celebrate when the gifts are there. They just want to open it, whether it's on January 6th, December 25th, or January 2nd, or December 28th. Or in the middle of the year. If they've got gifts, they want to just open it and celebrate that moment. All right, let's take the cue. To them belong the kingdom of heaven. The gift is life. The gift is the goodness of God. Celebrate it. Engage in it right now, today. Open that gift and enjoy it. 12 pieces. For children, 12 children's pieces based on folk themes by Komida Svartabet, played on the piano. I'll have a link on today's show notes so you could check out all 12 of them. I played 4 of them for you. And little tunes, small little tunes that express the beauty, the wonder, the mystery of life from none other than Gomidas, who was, first and foremost, a priest of the Armenian Church.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the sun in the sky. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the clouds so high. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the whispering wind.
We are celebrating Thanksgiving here on The Next Step, as is the entire United States. We've taken a pause today, and we are remembering that we have to be thankful. Thankful to who? Well, that's the big question, right? At some point, if you're thankful, if you're celebrating Thanksgiving, it means you there's somebody you have to be thankful to, right? Yeah, obvious. It's very obvious. Anyway, there's all kinds of history to this, and you know that it is a God-based history. In other words, the pilgrims who came here, and after their suffering, they took a pause and they thanked God in this wonderful feast. I love it because it's actually the government saying, it's the United States government saying that on this day we will pause. On this last Thursday of November, we will pause and be thankful. And there's all kinds of documentation that you could check out. I've spoken about it. I've done videos about it. Today we're going in a little bit different direction because I want to add to that Thanksgiving message with another incident that took place during this week. Now, I shared with you that we were so excited with the birth of our grandson, and this was, let's see, early Friday morning. So those of you who have listened to us through the years, or at least in the very last year, know that just a year ago today, that I lost my mother. In Armenian, the mother of the priest is called Diramayr. So I lost my Diramayr a year ago. So last Sunday, we did what in Armenian tradition, we have a requiem service. There's a misnomer. It's called hokihankist. I don't like that word because it literally means the rest of the soul. But it's presented in such a way that if you have the service, the soul will rest. Almost like we're telling God what to do. And I know it's kind of a weird one. We'll talk about it another day. I've talked about it. That's not the point of today. We just had this service in the church last Sunday. So you can imagine coming out of church, and we saw many people who stopped us and said, "May God rest her soul." Asfalt hokinlu savore. And in the next sentence, they turned and they said, "And achkenit luis, a light in your eye." Well, it doesn't mean light in your eye. It means congratulations. And the reason I'm mentioning this, because people may be incensed by this, you know, that you're coming out of church from a requiem and people are offering condolences on the one hand, and then they turn and they say, they say congratulations on the birth of your child. And I thought for a moment, yeah, it may be weird, but it wasn't. That's what I want to share with you. Do you realize that these two expressions are two sides of the same coin? Yeah. You take a coin out of your pocket. Whatever the value of that coin is, that coin has a head and a tail. But it has a value. The value, let's say it's a quarter of a dollar. Yeah, okay, those of you in Hayastan, let's say that it's 200 dram. Actually, I like the 500 dram because it's a cool coin. It has different material in it. It's got like a copper and a nickel base. Anyway, I digress as I always do. Take a coin out of your pocket. It has a head and a tail, but it has an intrinsic worth, whatever it may be. 5 cents, 10 cents, 100 dram. A franc, a pound, whatever it is. The value of that is between the head and the tail of that coin. Between the two faces of that coin. That's life. And on one side of that life coin is birth, and on the other side is death. And you can't avoid either of them. They're both part of the coin. They're both part of life. And what is it that when a child comes to us, we get excited? But when a person leaves this world, we are sad. When we realize that they're both part of the same equation, that's when you start understanding that this really is a blessing. I got to confess to you, there's something really that bothered me until this last week. I had a rough time after my mom died because I didn't break down like so many people as a priest. I've ministered. I've been there during the death of so many of my congregation, their family members. And I know how devastating it gets sometimes. And yet there was a calmness. Perhaps it's because of who my mother was, the way she confronted life, the way she dealt with her own circumstances and her death, and we were at peace. But in any case, still, you cry not because you feel sorry for the person, not because you're in anguish so much as you're going to miss that person. Because I think we are all reconciled with the idea that someday life has to end. But we're not reconciled with the idea of missing that person, of longing for that person. And that's what hurts. That's when we start crying. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I haven't really let loose on this. And just about a week ago, We have a piano in my house that unfortunately doesn't get played enough. But whenever I pass by, I try to at least tingle the ivory. And I know, don't write me letters. I know it's not ivory. Yeah, we don't kill elephants for that. Okay, just relax. Chill pill time. I tingle the ivory. And there was just a day I had my Beatles book out on top of it. And I started pounding the chords to Let It Be. C, C, G, G, A minor, G, F. I mean, I know them by heart. And it was just therapeutic just to be pounding it. And then I mellowed out and I started singing the words. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And I choked up. I choked up. You know why? Because a few years ago, I remember listening to an interview done by Paul McCartney. And he explained that he lost his mother at an early age to cancer. Her name was Mary. Mother Mary in this song was his own mother. And from the time I first heard Let It Be as a teenager, I had associated Mother Mary in the song with the Mother of Christ. Mary comes to me, Mother Mary. I mean, it's natural for a young Christian boy, right, to make that association. Mother Mary comes to me. I associated it with the Mother of Christ. And, you know, it's your prerogative. When you listen to music, you don't need to know what the author of the song intended. You could put in any interpretation you want to that, because it's speaking to your soul. Okay, it's okay. That is what I thought until I heard this interview and I realized, okay, it's about Paul's mother. And I had no reason to really make that association with the Mother of Christ. After all, it was just my own prejudices. As you grow older, you realize the Beatles, or Paul McCartney in particular, never really expressed a religious conviction or sensitivity to Christianity proper. And in a sense, if you think about what I'm saying right now, it's kind of sad to express it this way, considering how much they wrote and sung about love and peace, the theoretical grounding of Christianity. But calling on Saint Mary, the Mother of God, moves to the sacred and misunderstood realm of organized religion, which might not have room for those thoughts of love and peace. Like I said, sad. And in my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. I teared up. I thought about my own mom coming to me, speaking words of wisdom, assuring me that there will be an answer, and so I have to let it be. And I choked on the words, not exactly a cry, but an acknowledgement of the greatness of her loss in our lives. And here I am, realizing that, you know, loss is just another part of the coin. And the celebration of birth, it's the head of the coin. And in between is this beautiful thing called life. And that's what this celebration is all about. And so, in a very real sense, it was kind of a wake-up for me. And I think I found something very special this last Sunday. Just being at church, being in that condition of wanting to celebrate this miracle that you have just witnessed, and then at the same time also celebrating truly the passing of a great woman. You realize it's all about celebration. And is it no wonder that when you go to church, you do not attend the performance of the divine liturgy, as so often it is said, sadly, we're going to perform the divine liturgy. No, we are there to celebrate. It is the ultimate passion play. It is the ultimate liturgy that comes to us from the divine. And so when you go into church and you're taking this 1 hour out of your 168 to say thank you, you've got to realize you're going to be flying with the angels. You don't want to drag God down to earth. You want to fly with the angels. That's why this totally being involved and wrapped up in the divine liturgy is so important, because it is that recharge. It is that one plug-in that you get to go to once a week and really, truly recharge the batteries for the life that is ahead. And as for me, well, the celebration is the reminder that life is renewed, recharged. It's the celebration of Christmas. Christ is revealed and born, and the celebration of Christ is resurrected in one. It's the two sides of the same coin. Mother Mary has come to me. God renews life with an answer to our memories. Now it's up to us to see the coin, to see life as one, with the head and the tail. It becomes a meditation for the entire Advent season. Christ is born. New life is born. That's what Advent is about. We see the coin as a whole. We accept life as the continuation of all. And God talking to us, that here is the answer, that I'm always with you. Through the people, through the babies, through the lives, through the people that you experience in your lifetime.
When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
I just wanted to share that with you today. It inspired me 50 years ago. Here it is, 50 years later, still inspiring me, and I hope you. I think a lot of times people get confused. They say, oh, it is filled with mixed emotions. No. It's a variety of emotions. They're not mixed up. That's what makes you human. There are times to cry, there are times to laugh, there are times to celebrate, there are times to contemplate. But all of it's part of this beautiful thing that we have called life. And that's what we're thankful for. That's what the purpose of Thanksgiving, to take a break from everything else and say thank you. And that's what we're doing today. That's what today's next step is dedicated to. So I leave you with those thoughts. I hope wherever you are today, listening, and I won't make it long, because hopefully you are listening with some family and with a lot of people around you. You know, this is a very special day for us, because it also marked a special moment in the life of Next Step. And that's what I'll share with you after Susie makes her announcements.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to our listeners for listening, first of all. I'm glad you're with us. You know, it was Thanksgiving 2008. 2008 when Next Step really got a push, an incredible push. We had just started podcasting in June of that year. And in Thanksgiving, if you remember, this is like the first year that the iPhone had come out. Podcasting was in its infancy stage. And Apple's product, iTunes featured the Next Step. It was completely random. We had not solicited for that. It was, I don't even know who did it. I don't even know. It was, but obviously some editor of programming over at Apple featured the Next Step on the cover of iTunes. And I remember that Thanksgiving weekend. We skyrocketed from a few hundred listeners to thousands. You know, all of a sudden you've got people just like wondering, hey, who is this guy? What's he talking about? The Next Step with Father Vosgen. Kind of a weird name too, you know, like, whoa, what is this? So, you know, I always remember that. And that was 11 years ago. Can you believe that? That we skyrocketed on that time. But we have an interesting program that just started. It's in the Armenian language. It is called Ushatrutyan Gentron, in the center of attention. It is produced by the Western Diocese. And Susie and I are the guests this week on there. It is going to be shown on Los Angeles, like I said, has a huge, huge Armenian population and television presence. I mean, several channels of 24/7 programming. And we are going to be featured on one of the shows, on one of the TV stations, excuse me. It's called Ushatrutyan Gethron, episode number 5. Now, to you Next Step listeners who are not all in the Los Angeles area, actually very few are in the Los Angeles. That's also a phenomenal thing too, yeah. Most of our listeners are outside. Anyway, you're going to get to see this episode of Ushatrutyan Gethron before everybody else sees it, because all you need to do is go to the show notes, click on that particular link, and you'll get to see not only me, you'll get to see Susie. We are being interviewed by a gentleman named Vahis Sarkisian. He's talking about the 600th episode of The Next Step, which happens to be next week. Can you believe that? We are going to be celebrating 600 episodes of The Next Step. Every week, coming into your homes, coming into your car, coming into your office with these messages. So we'll celebrate together next week. And I believe this, I keep telling you, we're changing format. We're actually going to be changing equipment too. This will be the last one that we do on physical hard drives. We're going over to solid state drives next week. So I don't know if there's going to be a difference in tonal quality. Definitely there'll be a difference in performance. So we're moving over in that direction as well. It doesn't matter. You're going to get the same Father Vosgen. You'll still get the great programming that we put together over here. But I want to use this as a preface to say thank you. Yes, you. Don't look behind you. I'm talking to you. Thank you to our listeners for putting us on the map, for sharing so much of yourself, for supporting and for praying for this ministry. It's an important ministry. And as we go forward and we're hitting our 600th milestone, it's really beautiful because places we never, never imagined we can get to, this voice is being heard. So thank you and God bless you. As you sit in a spirit of thanksgiving, we're thankful also for all of the blessings that you bring to this ministry. Hey, listen, this is Thanksgiving, and that signals the beginning of our toy drive, our annual toy drive. These toys help children, or actually they benefit children of domestic violence, a unique group of people that often get unnoticed because the attention is on so many other things, on the filth of violence, that these little kids go unnoticed. And we have targeted them for how many years now to be the recipients of these toys. Thousands of toys have been delivered through the In Issues Ministry. I want you to participate in this. It's simple. You don't need to be in the Southern California area. In fact, we have an Amazon link. It'll be on today's show notes. All you have to do is pull down the show notes and go to the link that says participate in the toy drive and say yes, you will be taken to Amazon Central, where there is an In-Issues wish list for all the kitty toys. Yeah, painstakingly, Susie goes through this massive list of toys and picks out what she knows these kids are going to like. So there is a whole list over there, and just pick out, make a donation, send a gift or two. Be assured that it'll get to the kids. You got to do this soon, though, okay? Because this year we have one less week. Thanksgiving is a little bit later than usual, so we are running this between today. Start off, the kickoff date is today, and we go through until December 22nd is the last day that the toys have to reach us. So do not wait till December 22nd to order your toy. Just do it today, okay? Take a tip from me. Do it today. Give this gift to these children of domestic violence. I'm going to call it a day. We have a lot of things going on. We have a literary evening coming up next Tuesday night. Monday night, excuse me. We have an ecumenic service, which I'll be telling you about next week. If you happen to be in the Southern California area, do stop by. Check out all of our links on social media. And, of course, at inissues.org. This Sunday, I will be at the St. Gregory Armenian Church in Fowler, California. If you happen to be there, come by and say hello. With that, let's call it a day and say thank you. Thanksgiving for all the blessings that we have. And thank you to our listeners for being with us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed presenting it to you. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Bosgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take it. Rascal out!